So Jared Bush and Charisse Castro-Smith, welcome to the Picture House podcast.
Thank you so much.
Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Congratulations on the joyous and stunningly beautiful Encanto. I haven't had an experience like this since I first watched Finding Nemo.
Wow, really? Oh, that's so nice to hear that.
I am just as special as the rest of my family.
Who wants more pink?
All right, guys, where do I drop the wagon?
Maybe your gift is being in denial.
Every frame was so beautiful. I just want to dive in and start off with just how stunning the film was. So can you tell me about that specific thing, that detail that every frame had, and Colombia and where Encanto is based?
That's amazing. I'm really glad you felt that. You know, 800 people worked on this movie to make it what it is. It is a lot of work, and something that is only possible with every one of those people pouring their whole hearts into it. And so I think that what you see is 100% a lot of people operating at the highest levels and also being very emotionally connected. That's also really, really important. On top of that, you know, this movie is set in Colombia, which is a joyous, vibrant, breathtaking place. It is the most biodiversity of any country on the planet. You know, we took a research trip down there, and it just blew us away. And I think that's something that we really wanted to feel in this movie. We wanted people to feel like they had gone. And then early on, I remember saying, like, you know, this movie should feel romantic, and not in terms of sort of like a love dynamic, but just the feel of it, you know, so the tactile nature of it. It wanted to be lush and feel rich, and to really, you know, this movie is sort of inspired by magical realism. So it's not exactly reality. It's something a little pushed beyond that. So yeah, we bought all the colors for this movie and used them.
Oh, you could almost smell it. It was just delicious. And I wanted all the clothes and...
Yeah, us too.
It really, yeah. So Charisse, maybe could you introduce us to the film and give us an overview? I mean, there's so much to talk about. I can't believe I've only got 20 minutes.
Sure, absolutely. So Encanto tells the story of a multi-generational family, the Madrigals, who live in a beautiful mountain village in Colombia. And every single person in this family has some sort of magical gift, except for our protagonist, who is Mirabel. She's the one child in this family who was not given a magical gift for whatever reason. We don't know at the beginning of the movie. So, and it is Mirabel's journey to get to know her family more deeply and sort of solve a mystery of what is going on with the family's house that we're following. And by the end, you know, no spoilers, but, you know, I think the family comes out stronger for having gone through it.
Definitely. And I think there's so many messages in this film for families. And the number one thing that I've often thought when I watch many, many films, especially ones aimed at children, is they don't deal with what's my gift? What's my passion? Who am I? You know, like there's lots of the ballerina wanting to get to ballet school, or the child that's driven to something, or the one that's gifted with other. But to actually deal with the disappointment of being ordinary, I thought that was just so about time. Well done. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that with any of our movies, we have to have a real personal connection to tell the stories. We're on this journey for 5 years. And so you have to really care about it, and it has to really resonate with you. And so, you know, I think for me personally, you know, I look around at our world and the people I'm surrounded by, and everyone kind of looks like they got it together. You know, you're kind of constantly surrounded by superstars and everyone's happy. And you're like, I don't always feel, I'm kind of struggling here. I guess I'm the only one. And so as we started to talk to our own family and talk to each other, we started to see that everyone has the struggles. It's just that people don't talk about it. And so having this character who seems ordinary, who based on everything she sees around her feels ordinary, and wonders how she measures up in this family of superstars, that was really an exciting journey to go on with her, because it was really a journey that I think we really related to personally. And it's also, you know, a story where no matter who you are, I think it's important to know that you have intrinsic value. And also that the people around you that look like they have it together are struggling also. I think it's both of those things. And that's something we wanted to look at in this story.
And yes, because you can go very dark with this, can't you? And, you know, into a lot of psychology. But I loved how you kept the tone of, you know, like we've got Bruno that we don't talk about, yeah. But he's, you know, how did you manage to do that? How did you keep that? Like, was it like, this is a comedy, this is fun?
It was just always, you know, the Disney animation process of making a film is so unique. We write the script, the story artists board it, we record all the voices, edit it together, and screen the movie internally 8 times as we're going along. And it gets more and more complete as we're going. So I think you're right. It was a tough tone to really nail, but it was through that process of screening it over and over again, getting feedback, understanding sort of where it was getting too dark or how we could like, what moments needed to be more grounded. It was really going through that process that I think allowed us to sort of land in a tonal place where it's a movie that children can watch and be delighted and parents can also watch and maybe take different things away from it than the children do, but that it's truly a family movie that everyone can watch together.
And utterly relatable. I mean, it's not often that you see the full extended family, and I love that it had every creed, color, shape, size represented. Luisa is my absolute favorite. Offshoot film. Thank you. So talk to me about how you got that representation.
Well, you know, when we first started, putting an extended family, a multi-generational extended family, was actually our goal from the very beginning. We wanted to tell a story where you got to meet a lot of different types of people, where those people felt relatable, but were also different. And so early on, knowing that that was our goal, by the way, we thought it would be easier because we were like, it'll just be 12 characters in one house and that'll be easier to produce. No, it turns out that's way harder to produce. But I think once we realized that this movie should be told in Colombia, and Colombia is a place of all kinds of diversity, whether that is the flora and fauna or the people and the culture themselves. You know, you have Afro-Colombian, you have indigenous, you have European influences, and all of those things are mixed all in the same families. And we really, really wanted to represent that on screen, get to know people. I think really importantly too, Colombia itself is almost 5 countries in one. And so as you're watching this movie, you know, I think people from Colombia would definitely be able to see someone like Uncle Felix is a Castaño. He's a guy from the coast, whereas Agustin, Mirabel's dad, is really sort of based on someone who'd be from Bogota. Those personalities are very specific regionally. Actually, our really good friends that helped us on this movie, Juan and Natalie. Natalie is from Bogota and Juan is from Cali, which is more coastal. Their dynamic is so delicious. And we're like, this is amazing. So I think we had a lot of help to do it, but also I think the country itself really lent itself to this type of story.
Completely. And it totally came across. And I did think, wow, you have knitted these people together extremely well. So yeah, and you had Columbia to teach you that, which is just fabulous. Yeah,
for sure.
And talk to me about the house, which I just was, because Charisse, I know that you have a background in horror. And and I thought, good borderline poltergeist in this house. I was a little worried and then I relaxed.
Oh, good. Yes. Very different kind of house than houses I've worked on in the past. But no, the house was one of the most delightful characters really to work on, you know, because it really is a character in this film. We talked a lot about how family homes sort of absorb the memories, the secrets, the kind of personality of the family that lives in them. And so we wanted this house to sort of be a reflection of the family and feel magical and alive. You know, early on, we were honing on what the house's character would be. We started to think of it almost like a family dog that has its favorites. It has the people who give it treats and pat it on the head. It has the people it doesn't like so much, but that it has really particular relationships to each member of the family, but it's also kind of a representative of the entire family. And I know our animators had an amazing time working on the house and they did such an incredible job. I think it's just one of the most delightful aspects of the film.
It really is. And I love how you talk about it being the dog, because even though Mirabel doesn't have necessarily her room, but she's definitely the house's favorite.
She is, yeah.
I think she spent a lot of time in that house. I think she's been in her room. Ordinarily, she'd be talking to herself. In this movie, she can talk to her house.
Yes, yeah. And let's talk about the songs. Lin-Manuel Miranda, oh, just again, like, what a joy. How do you collaborate with someone who obviously brings so much to the script and the party and the story?
Well, yeah, it's something that a lot of people don't know. When we began this, we just knocked him on the head and shoved him in a room and didn't let him leave until we had 8 amazing songs. He was with us from the very beginning, literally from day one. We had him as a partner, and he's extremely collaborative. And it's so fun to work with him. I think as Charisse and I were going through trying to figure out, okay, we have 12 main characters. How do you separate them? How do you get to know them? And Lin really took upon himself that challenge of musicalizing all these different members of the family that you meet. So you have a strong sister like Luisa, and this song Surface Pressure, this is a reggaeton inspired song where you get to meet this very strong character, music genre wise, it really makes sense. And then you get this vulnerability. As soon as we heard that, it actually changed the way we thought about Luisa quite a bit. And we rippled that through the entire script. Mm-hmm. And then you have a song like We Don't Talk About Bruno, which is just bonkers amazing. It was like the one time I think on this project where we were talking every Friday night, we'd have these music conversations with him. And as we were talking about it, like, he goes, oh, I think I know what that might sound like. And he literally turned to the side and started to play the beginning of that song. So we actually saw him write that song in real time in front of our eyes, which is kind of mind blowing. But he did sneaky things in that song. You know, you actually get to meet other members of the family and actually get to hear what's going on with them. They don't have a full song like Dolores. You're like, wait, what is she talking about? Oh my gosh. There's these little nuggets, and he's so good at weaving personality and mixing that with the genres of the songs in a way that feels effortless. I hope it's effort for him, because it would make me angry if that was easy.
It doesn't seem that effortful, yeah. I have to say.
He deserves to work hard for that kind of result, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yes, because it was like, even though the film is like 90 minutes, you do feel, you know, everyone just from these little snippets of like, and you think, oh, that's just like my auntie, whoever. So it's all relatable. You know exactly what's being said and what's intended. And yeah, very, very clever. And also Jennifer Lee was involved, you know, so you've got all these beautiful personalities. Tell me about working with her.
Oh, she's incredible. I mean, I think one of the things I appreciated the most was she's a writer first and foremost. I mean, that's how she sort of came into this industry. And so working with her as a writer, sort of getting feedback on the script, she always just had such brilliant insights into character and relationship. She was a great partner to work with.
Yeah. And you know, she was one of the first people I met at Disney Animation when I started 10 years ago. She took me out to lunch for chili. That was her choice. She's like, I'm going to take you out for chili. I was like, I don't know what, I love this person, because I don't know anyone else that says, you want to get chili? So that was exciting. But you know, it's really nice is that she's now the head of the company, but it doesn't feel like that in a working format. It feels like a collaborator. It feels like someone who is in the trenches with you trying to figure out these problems. You know, these movies take a long time to make, and there's a lot of trial and error, and it requires a lot of trust in that process. And she's just the best at it.
And finally, I want to talk about cinema, because like I said, you know, I was sat watching Encanto, utterly entranced. And, you know, we've obviously, the cinematic landscape has changed over the last couple of years. And how, you know, this film is so cinematic. Talk to me about how important it is for kids to see this at the cinema all together.
There's nothing more important. I'd say that a crazy thing is, right when we were about to start production on this movie, we all had to go home. All 800 people go home. And so the entire production was done at people's houses. So we actually only got to see this movie on a small screen for that entire time. And then a couple months ago, we finally got to go back into the studio, and we were then seeing pieces of it on the big screen. And the difference was, I literally was crying, because what we realized is, you know, I think Disney Animation has a reputation for just producing gorgeous things. That said, I've never seen something prettier than this movie, because 800 people really poured their hearts into literally every frame. So when we were seeing it on the big screen for the first time, you're right, that scope, that is sort of immersive quality, there were things that we were seeing that we'd never seen before. And so just from sort of like an immersion beauty standpoint, seeing it huge is very important. The music, the feeling of being immersed in Columbia itself, the sound design, which is just truly spectacular. Jermaine Franco's score is gorgeous. Having that feeling is very, very important. And then of course, this is a story about family and community. And so seeing it with other people actually makes a huge difference, you know? And I think the first time we got to hear it with an audience for the first time and you heard reactions and where people were lighting up, it's kind of a transformative experience. And so we were so happy, honestly, when they said it's going to go to theaters because we knew what a huge difference it makes.
Completely. I mean, I watched it in a room full of adults and I just was thinking, I cannot wait to bring my children with popcorn, looking around at all the other kids, you know, and just those moments when they're all laughing together and it's communion.
Yeah, it is for sure.
Thank you both so much for joining us today. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the film on so many levels, and I would love to talk to you so much more about all the family stuff. And so, yeah, I hope we can see plenty more Encantos in the future as well.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.